Pray, God, as we watch these words, listen to these words, see these images, God, our hearts are just welling up with gratefulness, God, for all that you've done over these last 3 years. I mean, it's been a great journey since this place opened its doors up just over 3 years ago. And God, many lives have been touched. And it's not just about this community. It's about people being willing to allow Christ to be shown through them. And so, God, today we're just celebrating. We're celebrating this great journey that we've been on and what you're doing through this community and in a bigger picture where you're taking this community as we take this huge step toward Crosspoint's new home. And so God, just speak to us today. We know that we're here for a reason, and each and every one of us, whether we've been here every week through this journey or we just walked in for the first time today, God, that you have something that you want to connect with us on. So we just ask that you meet us in that place in your name. Amen. Well, it's great to have you here today. My name's Kurt Walters, and I'm the lead pastor here at Crosspoint. And you just saw a few videos of people that were basically saying, hey, to those of you who are part of the ground floor of getting this thing off the ground 3 years ago, thank you. Because, you know, what you experience every week was because of the sweat and the sacrifice of a few that helped launch this thing just over 3 years ago. And so we're grateful for that group of people and the many who have joined us since then. Before we get going with some really exciting stuff today, take out your weekly, and there's a connection card that looks like this inside. Go ahead and pull that out. And if you're a regular attender or a partner, you can begin to fill this out. All we need is your name and any information that's changed on here. And if you're a guest with us today, man, we are just glad that you have joined us today. And we're going to ask you to fill this card out as well and give us as much information as you're comfortable passing on. We'd love to know if it's your first time, second time with us. And then a question at the bottom that says, how'd you hear about Crosspoint? It's always intriguing to us to know how you got connected here, how you heard about us. And so as you're filling that out, let me just say, if you're a guest today, this is a big, big day for Crosspoint. I mean, we're just over 3 years old. We've been on this journey, and God's been doing some crazy things through these last few weeks as we've been preparing to take this big step to build our next new home, what we're calling a real home for real people, a place for Crosspoint to continue to build into people's lives, to continue to create an avenue and an environment for increased life change in our community. That's what this is about. We're about God working in people's lives and restoring them and living a no barriers life in relationship with God. And so that's what we're doing today. You might see some crazy stuff happen today as there's some people that are going to be coming and just making some God-sized commitments to help fuel this next crazy God-sized dream that we're going after today. And so you're really going to get a picture of the heartbeat of what this community is about today. So here we are. For those of you who have been tracking for the last 6-7 weeks, I mean, we've been preparing for this day. I mean, we've been planting seeds. We've been putting principles out saying, it's up to us. It's up to you. It's up to me to see how God is going to allow these seeds to take root in our lives as we talk about trust and investment and sacrifice and what that has to do with this crazy dream that God has been shaping for this community. And so, how we respond today is going to change the trajectory of this community for years to come, and it's going to literally change the trajectory of individual lives, people we love in our community, our neighbors, the people we see at the grocery store, people that increasingly will continue to connect with this community as we go boldly before God and pursue this dream. And so, this is kind of where we're at today. Peter Drucker, a social ecologist, he says something really fascinating. He said, if you look at every mediocre or failed organization that was at one time great, they all have a common history. There was a pivotal moment in their history that required a bold move, and they shrunk back from it. And so as I think about where Crosspoint is today, I mean, we're at a pivotal point in our history. And we're faced with this bold move that's in front of us. And we each have the personal question of, are we going to step up to the plate or are we going to shrink back from what it is that God's been asking us to do? And so today, we're wrapping this thing up. I'm going to say, we've said all we need to say through this journey. And so, what is it that on this commitment weekend, this celebration weekend, that I feel like we need to capture for the last time? It's not going over old stuff. But, what I began to realize is that for me, I was thinking about this question of why would I expect people to respond generously today? I mean, what's the reason that I would expect many in this community to come and make generous, sacrificial, one-time commitments, sacrificial 3-year commitments to fuel this crazy God-sized dream? And so I started thinking through, what are some of those reasons? I got a little anxiety over it. Are people actually going to come to the table and say, we're bringing what God has laid on our heart to invest and fuel this God-sized dream? And we said, we've done the work. We've done the prep work. We've prayed, and we've planted seeds, and now we're trusting that each of us will obey and God will come through. And so I was thinking through that. I said, one reason not to respond today is because I said so. I mean, if you walk out of here or you in the next 15, 20 minutes, you come up and you say, I'm going to respond just because Kurt said so, then that means I've guilted you into something. And I've been really, really clear each week that my goal is not to guilt or manipulate, but to challenge us to say, how does God want to uniquely use you to fuel this dream that he has for this community. And so, you know, if you've been guilted, then that's not the right reason to respond today. You know, as I think about it, I mean, guilt only works for short-term bursts. I mean, it doesn't sustain over the long haul. And in fact, I don't do anything out of guilt. I mean, I rarely will respond out of guilt. In fact, you know, when I think about it, the only significant things that go for long periods of time in my life, those things come out of gratitude, not out of guilt. And so as I thought about that, I thought, well, you know, I'm thankful for a lot of things right now, but it brought me to three specific things that I thought, you know, these are the three things that I want to share with you today as we kind of wrap this thing up. And so these are the things I'm grateful for as we enter this celebration week. And the first is that I'm grateful for the money that God has entrusted to us. I mean, I realize that God is not fair. I mean, if God were fair, then we wouldn't be here. I mean, thank God that God is not fair when it comes to his grace and mercy. But when it comes to how he distributes his wealth and our wealth, God is not fair in that as well. As I think about that, I mean, I could have been born in any country of the world, at any history point in history, and yet I live today at a time right now in the most affluent generation and in the most affluent country in the history of the world. I mean, I have the privilege of living in that season of this earth. And I'm just grateful for that. I'm grateful for what that allows me to do. I'm grateful for what that allows me to experience and enjoy in my life. I'm grateful for how that enables me to impact and touch other people's lives, because this is where I am. This is where we are at this season in the history of our world. I'm also grateful for the ability that I have to give the resources that God has given to me. And as I thought about that, I thought, you know, this is how I really come to know God. I mean, I honestly don't know if you can know God until you become a giver. I mean, I just don't know if it's possible, you know, because giving is arguably the most important spiritual discipline that anybody can participate in. I mean, if we look in the Bible, if we look throughout the scriptures and kind of do a word count of some of the core spiritual disciplines that God calls us to, take a look at these. Prayer is mentioned 225 times. Prayer is a significant part of this journey we've been on. Many of you have been receiving crazy prayers every day for the last 36 days. It's been a significant part praying during certain hours of the day that God would just move through this community. It's a big part of our spiritual discipline. The next one is believing. It's mentioned 233 times in the scriptures. Believing is a huge part. Trusting God is a huge part of our spiritual growth. The third is the word loving. If we look for the word loving, we see it 665 times. We see the scripture, they're talking about loving God or loving others. I mean, it's central to what this community is built on. How do we increase our love for God and grow in our love for others? Because we believe they can't be mutually exclusive. You can't really love God if you're not loving others, and vice versa. Because this, I mean, when you think about giving, I mean, how many times the word giving is mentioned in the scriptures? Whether it has to do with giving your resources or giving your time, giving of yourself, this spiritual discipline is mentioned 1,684 times. I mean, just heads and shoulders above the rest, we see that this idea of giving, of generosity with my time and with my resources, is something that literally helps me understand what it means to know God. And that's why I say, if somebody's not a giver, it makes me wonder, what's if something's not right there? Are they really tracking with the heart of God? Yeah, I read something recently where I saw that the word miser and the word miserable came from the same root word. Have you ever realized that? Have you ever thought in moments where you're miserable if you're just being a miser? Have you ever wondered that? I mean, if you think about it, miser is the root word of the word miserable. In fact, there was a guy by the name of Carl Menninger, who is a distinguished psychologist. He said something really interesting. He started the Menninger Clinic a number of years ago, back in the early 19th century. And he said this. He said, giving is an important criteria of mental health. Generous people are rarely mentally ill. I mean, kind of interesting, right? I mean, if you don't want to be mentally ill, you got to get generous, and somehow it's going to work itself out, right? I mean, when I think about it, as I think about this, I think about how much God has given me, I feel sorry. I mean, I genuinely feel sorry for those of us that don't give. I mean, in the midst of this crazy journey, most people that come up to me, and they're just excited about what's going on and I've had a lot of cool conversations. People come up and said, you know what, we can't wait to give our community. We can't wait to see what God's going to do in this next season of life. I've had a few conversations where, you know, they've been kind of that question, hey, that kind of pulling back. I'm not sure I'm in on this thing. I'm choosing not to participate. And you can always find a reason not to participate. I've also had a few conversations with people that have said, hey, I know somebody who's choosing not to participate. How can I help them get engaged? I said, well, you can't help them do that. And it's interesting because I've had a lot of conversations. I even had people that have come up to me and asked questions about, well, how are we going to do this and that. We've been happy to answer any questions and conversations that come our way, because we believe it's how we help people grasp what God is doing here. But as I thought about a few of these conversations where there's just the deliberateness to not engage or not participate in this crazy journey, either a resistance or just not being present, I began to realize that, you know, I honestly don't get angry in that situation. I don't even think lesser of those people. I mean, what I began to realize is that my heart just grieves for them. My heart just grieves when I see somebody say, you know, I'm going to choose to pull back and not be a part of this thing. Because I guess my heart grieves because I begin to realize that maybe they're not connecting with God in a way that I would love to see. Because if you're giving, if you're connecting with God, then you're choosing to give. And so, you know, Jesus was clear about this. I mean, Jesus talked about this often. In fact, in Matthew chapter 10, he said, freely you have received, freely give. And so I'm just grateful today for what God has entrusted to me, and I get the opportunity to give. I couldn't sleep last night because I got to bring my commitment today to this altar, as we're going to show in a few moments. You know, second thing I'm grateful for is I'm grateful for this community that God has created around us. You know, sometimes people come up to me after we have a service or maybe they have a great idea and they're like, hey, whenever Crosspoint goes and does this, whenever you guys might think about starting this project or you know, over the last few weeks, people have come up over after service and man, you guys knocked it out of the park today. And whenever I hear you being referred to Crosspoint in the second person, I'm like, whoa, pull that back. Why are you using you? Why are you talking about us in the second person? Because if you're here, if you're a part of this, I don't care if you're on the band, if you're serving, if you're greeting, if you're out in kids' rooms. I mean, you know, you're a part of, this is a we thing. This is a community that you have ownership in what God is doing here today. And as we think about this pivotal moment in history today, you and I have this unique opportunity to take a healthy ownership in this moment in Crosspoint's history. I mean, how we invest, how we respond today, how you've been preparing in your heart to respond, you have an opportunity to take healthy ownership and say, hey, I'm a part. When Crosspoint touches lives, when Crosspoint changes lives, when people's marriages are put back together, when kids are turned toward God and the trajectory of their young lives change forever, you're an owner in saying, I was a part of making that happen. I mean, you and I have this unique opportunity as we respond today to invest and say, I'm gonna come along people in my community and I'm gonna help continue to shape this environment to be a place where people can come along and they can seek, they can explore what it means to have an intimate relationship with the God of the universe, what it means to come to know Christ intimately and to love others more. I mean, this is the first day in Crosspoint's next season. And what's so cool about it is, you know, we've all joined this community at different places. Some of us are here for the first time today. Some of us have been here since before we opened the doors. But today, we're all on the ground floor. I mean, the floors are leveled, and we're all on the ground floor, and we need to be thankful for the opportunity we have today. And as I've thought about that, I've been thankful for the camaraderie, the community that only comes when people are sweating side by side. I mean, when we're sweating, when we're sacrificing, when we're making commitments, we're about a common goal, it's kind of like the glue that holds this community together. And I know also many of us, in fact, I was talking to a few people before they came in today, I'm like, how you doing? Man, I'm anxious. You're sweating because of the commitment you're going to make today. You've never written down on a piece of paper the amount of money that you may be giving to fuel this thing over the next 3 years before, and you're sweating right now. Well, there's something that ties you together. Many people are coming in that form saying, God, short of you showing up in a big way in my life, I'm not going to be able to do this. And so you're saying, God, I'm going out boldly on the limb with you. And you're sweating. Well, there's a glue. There's something when we do that together that binds us together. And I'm also thankful for the people in this room that have kind of gone through this journey with us, that have begun preparing this journey, that have sweated and sacrificed and given all these extra crazy hours to pull this crazy journey off. And so, you know, I just want to recognize a handful of people today, people that have been significant in helping us get through this crazy journey. And so, you know, I'm going to ask you to hold your applause till the end. But these are people that have been significant in pulling this thing off. And so first is Brendan Harburn and John Sting. If you guys just want to stand and stay standing. They've been a part of the financial team that have been meeting with our consultant. They've been on a lot of the planning. And meeting crazy hours through this crazy journey and even months before to help prepare this community for this thing. And then our staff team, Casey Miller, Julie Walters, PJ Tao, Adam Mason, pouring themselves into this thing. And then we have a number of people that in specific ways have pulled off events and given of themselves. Ryan and Sarah Smalligan, Chris and Jelaine Sparrow, Chris Miller, John Hibner, Kevin and Michelle Stelt, Cindy Short, Bethany Wanza, Barb Walters, Tammy Satinga, Jennifer Harbron, Dan and Brooke Brand, and then there's somebody that's not here today. My friend, if you ever go to Houlihan's, my friend Rich, who's the manager at Houlihan's, he let us have his restaurant one day to have a leadership launch event before they opened and just gave it to us. So tell him thanks on behalf of Crosspoint when you see him. And let's thank these people for just pouring themselves into all that it took to pull off this event. You know, these people have sacrificed. I mean, they've given of themselves to help pull this journey off, in addition to the creative team and all the people that have done writing and prepared this community for what we've experienced over the last few weeks. But the third thing that my heart just spills over with gratitude on today is the son that God has sacrificed. as I think about this, I think this is why we're here. I mean, this is why we're doing this. I heard someone just recently this week say, you know, that he's gone through a pretty difficult stint over the last few weeks, say, you know, God has never given me anything but his best. I have not always been happy with what's come my way in life, but I can honestly say God always gives me his best. As I thought about that, I thought, man, that's really what it's all about, isn't it? And when it comes to God, he never gives us a half-baked effort. I mean, it's never a hot, half-shot job. I mean, whenever God gives, I mean, look at the best thing he's ever gave. What is it? His son, Jesus Christ. And when he gave his son, he didn't say, hey, I'm going to loan him to you for a little while. I'm going to release him to you for a short time, then take him back. What did he say? He said, I'm going to give him. I'm going to sacrifice him for you. I'm going to lower myself down through my son. I'm going to give himself fully to you so that you can know what it means to know me. I mean, take a look at John 3:16. I mean, the most popular, most familiar verse in all of the scriptures. For God so loved the world that he what? He gave. I mean, if that, it just captures the heart of what God's about. For God so loved the world that he gave. And what did he give? He gave his one and only. I mean, it would have been one thing if God had 100 sons and he said, I'm going to give you one of my 100. If he had 10 sons, I'm going to give you 10% of what I have. I'm going to give you one of my 10. But God said, I have one and only and I'm going to give it all. 100% of what I have comes to you. And why would he do this? So that those who believe, those who trust, those who receive what I've given you, that you won't perish, but you'll have eternal life. I mean, that's at the heart, that's at the core of what this crazy dream is about, that God gave so that we could have life. And we believe God's dream for this community, it just is exploding beyond what we're experiencing right now. And it's going to require us to give back. This is why 1 Peter 3:9 has been a really central scripture to us over the last 3 or 4 months. As we've been talking about what God is doing in this community, Peter writes, the Lord isn't really moving slow about his promise to return, as some people think. No, he's patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to perish, so he's giving more time for everyone to repent. So God says, at the heart of me, I want to give. I want you to receive everything I have. And he says, at Crosspoint, I want you to be a place that continues to create and shape environments for people to come and experience a no-barriers relationship with Jesus Christ. This is the crazy thing that's before us. And so I am grateful today. I'm excited that you're here. I'm thrilled that you've taken, you know, an hour and 15 minutes out of your weekend to be a part of this crazy, crazy celebration day. And my prayer is going to be over these next few minutes as we go through these next 15, 20 minutes that you're just going to experience some things and hopefully you're going to connect with some things and that your heart is just going to sync up. Many of us, we've prepared. We know what our commitments are going to be. Some of us are still in process. But I just want your heart to begin to get in sync with God at a greater level, that you take a step closer to the center of God's dream. And that you're captivated by what he's doing. So let's pray. God, that's our prayer right now. God, my prayer is that as we begin to open ourselves up at the next level of what you want to do through this community, God, that you would just speak to us. God, that you would reveal yourself to us, that you would capture our hearts, that we would be captivated by this crazy dream that you have for us to take this giant step in this young toddler community into a more permanent home where we can continue to bring about life change and provide environments to build into lives. And so God, as we watch these images, as we listen to these words, as we hear this music, God, we ask that you just captivate us. You'd help us to get a clear picture of what you're doing and how we can be a part of it, we pray. Amen.
Here we are, our current Sunday launch pad. Let's take a moment to think back to where this vision began and how God moved us to where we are now. Thank God for what you've experienced in this place. Maybe how you've changed or how your life is different today than when you first walked through these doors. God, we want to thank you for planting the seed, the vision for this community. You provided this place for each of us to come so that you can meet us right where we are, knowing we don't have it all together and loving us anyway. All of this was brought together simply for your glory. Let's try to see the things that God sees. Think of the children who attend Fall Creek Intermediate School, Fall Creek Elementary, Hamilton Southeastern Junior High, the Primrose Child Care Center, and over 2,000 students who are on campus at Hamilton Southeastern High School each day, as well as all of their families who regularly travel Olio Road. Consider how this crazy dream can be part of drawing each person you see closer to God. Consider this reality. That there are over 150,000 vehicles that travel this I-69 corridor every day. The greater things have yet to come, and greater things Ask God to reveal to you how you might be a part of engaging and sharing the hope of Christ with people who travel this corridor every day. Crosspoint's real home for real people might be in one of the buildings you see, or it might not even be built yet. Right now, it's just a new plot of warehouse buildings and undeveloped land, but truly, this is a field of dreams. We want to take a step closer to God's dream for Crosspoint in this place. Notice the people in the restaurants, the servers, the kids on the playground, the people in the shops, people walking on the sidewalks, friends going to the movie theater, the family in the parking lot, the salespeople, the shop owners. God, bring us the courage to step out and engage them, to give us boldness to share your love with them. Fill our minds with wisdom and our mouths with perfect words for you to move them. Spark in them the desire to share your vision of life that is so beautiful that it takes their breath away. And in case you haven't noticed, it's getting crazy around here. Did you get a glimpse of it? This real home for real people, a place where it's okay not to have it all together, a place for building into people, a launch pad for life change. Crosspoint desires to continue to be a place for people to come into intimate relationship with God and meaningful relationships with others. Picture it, a place to build into people, a hub for connecting, for community, for gathering, and for life change. A place for love to explode and bring the dead to life. Through a love so bold, it's sure to bring a revolution somehow.
Now, you know, there's a lot of imagery in that song as we talk about, you know, streetlights, people walking, and in a real sense, people searching for life. I mean, looking to go somewhere in their life and looking at for a sense of direction, and that's really what we're talking about today. We're talking about how can we be that kind of people, and it's going to require believing. Something else I learned is that song was written on the year PJ was born, of all things, yeah, and Tammy Satinga's first concert of all time in her young teenage years, REO Speedwagon, so some real personal connects there. But, you know, God has... Journey, oh, sorry. I'm even getting my bands confused. Sorry, Journey. That was one of my weightlifting songs, you know, when I used to pump it up in high school as well, but that shows you how much older I am than PJ. All throughout history, God has been putting together teams of people since the beginning of time with very unique focuses. All right, so God has called these people together. In fact, all the way back in Genesis chapter 12, God calls this unique team together, and he says to Father Abraham, he says, I want you to be a father of all nations, and I've got a very specific task that I want you to be about. And so he gives this overarching mission statement to them, and he says, this is what I want my nation, my community, the people known as Israel, to be about. In Genesis 12, it says, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. And I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing to all people. And so what God is saying, he's saying, you know, when people come together in my name, and they join my team, and they say, hey, I'm going to be a part of this great thing that God is doing in the world, he says, when you begin to become about my stuff, then the people in your community are recipients of that. They benefit from your investment, from what you're doing, from how you're living in the community. He says, when you're about my stuff, then the people in your neighborhood realize it and they experience it and they benefit because you're around. He says, you know, when my people are about my stuff, then when you're interacting at the ball fields, when you're coaching kids on the soccer team, people are better off because you're there, because they said, I've called you to be a blessing to all people. And so one of the unique things we see in the scriptures is that every time this team known as Israel, every time they take a bold, big move for God, and they would trust him, and God would deliver them, he'd cause them to pause, and he'd say, I want you to stop, and I want you to mark the moment. I want you to mark this moment where God came through, where I came through, and at the same time, I want you to remember all that I've done for you. And so we see on and on throughout the scriptures, as Abraham is leading this tribe known as Israel, that they would pause, and he says, whenever you do this, I want you to build an altar. And at this altar, I want you to stop, and I want you to pause, I want you to remember all I've done, and then I want you to worship me and thank me for being your God. And so this is what would happen on and on throughout the scriptures. We see this thing just continue to happen over and over again. And then there came a moment where God went to Abraham and he said, Abraham, it's time to go to the next new place, to go to the next level. I want to see if you're with me on this. And so he went to Abraham, and here's what he said. He said, sometime later, God tested Abraham, and he said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I will tell you about. And so I have to think that there's a lot of imagery, a lot of thoughts going through Abraham's mind as God asks him to go to this place, to this mountain that he's even going to show him. He's not even going to tell him where he's going. And when he gets there, he's supposed to sacrifice his only son. So the next morning he gets up and they mount their donkeys, Abraham, Isaac, and a couple servants. And in doing so, they begin this journey toward this place that God is going to show them. And I'm sure there's all kinds of questions going through his mind of saying, God, why have you asked me to do this? Why my only son? Isn't there something else that I could give? And in a real sense, I'm guessing that he was even doubting from time to time. In fact, at one point along the way, as they were going to this place that God was going to show them, Abraham's son Isaac even says to his dad, he says, Dad, I know that we've got the wood and we've got the fire, but what about the sacrifice? Where's the sacrifice that we're going to make? And Abraham looks in his son's eyes and he says, Son, God has asked us to take the wood and the fire, and he says, I will provide for you the sacrifice. And so when they reached the place that God had showed them, here's what it says in Genesis 22. When they reached the place God had told them about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and he took a knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. I mean, so in a real sense, God is saying, hey, I want to know what's most important to you, and I want to know if I am that thing. He's saying, I'm going to ask you to go and give something up that this is seemingly the most important thing in your life, and I'm testing you to see if your heart is really with me, Abraham. And as soon as Abraham lets go and says, God, if this is what you're asking me to do, I'll obey. And then he stops Abraham. And it says, Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. This is a fascinating story because what we see is this, you know, it seems inhumane to think about this idea of giving up our son for something that God in a crazy way is asking us to do. And yet it wasn't about God seeing if that was really going to take place as much as it was being willing to see if Abraham's heart was with him and willing to follow him. You know, as I thought through that story, I thought, you know, there's all kinds of ramifications for that. I mean, I thought, you know, is his son going to be in counseling for the rest of his life? I mean, is his dad laid him on this altar, you know, a dagger above him? And I mean, my kids would be like, Dad, why did you do that? I mean, were you really going to kill me? You know, I mean, what kind of long-term damage did this do to Isaac? What's fascinating about the story is if we read on about 2-3 chapters later in Genesis 26, we see that Isaac is following in the faithfulness of his father. It says, that night the Lord appeared to him, being Isaac, and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bless you, and I will increase the number of your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham. Isaac built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord, and there he pitched his tent, and there his servants dug a well. And so we see again that Isaac is marking the moment. He's building an altar and he's worshiping God. He's saying, God, I'm going to mark this moment. I'm going to remember this time. I'm going to commemorate that you showed up and you continue to provide. But there's something interesting that we see in this passage, that they also dug a well. Now, a well is interesting because a well is a symbol of life. A well in any community in this era of time was seen as the place where people gathered. It was the hub of the community. It was the place where people came to receive water, which allowed them to live yet another day. Water literally means life. And so there's something significant about not just coming and sacrificing and being willing to worship God, but there's something significant about coming and saying, we're going to also make this place a hub of life, a gathering place, a place to receive life. So as we think about what our commitments, our crazy commitments are going to be to this crazy campaign, our crazy three-year commitments, our crazy, you know, one-time cash gifts, you know, this is not just a financial thing. This is not just saying, hey, we're going to give some cash to build a physical home, but it's saying I'm investing my resources into something that's a hub of life, a gathering place that ultimately gives life to the community. And so I want to ask you to take out your crazy commitment card. It was in your weekly when you came in, you received one. And it looks like this. I want to just ask you to hold it in your hands. You're not going to fill it out yet. You're just going to hold it in your hands. But as you hold this in your hands, is for many of us, we've processed through what we're going to write down on this card today. For some of us, we may not have began to do that. Some of us are processing right now. I just want you to hold this in your hands, and I want you to consider the investment that you can make that will never be taken away, that will be stored in heaven, that will change the trajectory of life forever, that will never rust or be stolen or be destroyed. Because what you're investing in today is you're investing not in bricks and not in steel, but you're investing in life change. And as you hold your card in your hand, consider this story from Brian and Becky Clark, who recently experienced this through this community here at Cross Point.
Hi, I'm Brian Clark with my family, wife Becky, two daughters, Abby and Aaron, have had the proud opportunity to be a part of the Cross Point community over the past really year to year and a half. And when we first were looking to become a part of a church community, we had some friends that had recommended Cross Point. Becky and I have been married 19 years. We both recognized that there had been a significant void in, you know, our relationship, both personally and spiritually. We had never really stepped into an environment like Cross Point to, you know, embrace the fellowship and the community, the friendship, and we were looking to add that to both our relationship and importantly for our kids as well. We quickly recognized what the mission of Cross Point was. You know, when I look at what Cross Point has done for us as a family, something that was really very important for us was a wonderful environment for our kids. Upstreet has been a fantastic experience for our daughter Abby, as they have, you know, introduced certain verses and messages out of the Bible. You know, Abby has really embraced that, and she has taken that to the level of wanting to read the Bible on her own. And we appreciate, you know, her interest to learn more and embrace and read and make that a part of what she wants to do on a daily basis. So she has taken it upon herself to, you know, allow herself to migrate to her bedroom, and, you know, instead of reading, you know, a child's book, she is now, you know, looking at the opportunity to learn more and read more from the Bible specifically, and certainly as a parent, that makes me very proud. You know, the most meaningful thing to me, personally, as I kind of reflect on my experience and the opportunity to be a part of Cross Point, has been the opportunity to be a part of a fellowship and a church community that has a very strong mission relative to giving back to the community, trying to find a very positive way to drive additional folks and participation relative to this wonderful movement that is going on. Although I feel like I have had very strong values and really focused on, you know, the Christian way, I hadn't taken the step to really embrace that and try to share that with more of a church community. And over the past year or so, that has certainly made me feel more complete and have appreciated the opportunity to do that with Cross Point. You know, I'm excited to talk a little bit about the crazy campaign, because over the past 6 to 7 weeks, I mean, it's really been kind of a crazy impact on us. We're excited to be a part of it because of what it's going to mean to a broader community. When you look at the opportunity to open it up and try to get even a larger audience to participate in the Cross Point experience, that's a wonderful opportunity to invest in, and we're very proud to be a part of it.
This is why we're doing what we're doing today. It's about life change. It's about people coming to realize that there's a void that's filled when you come to know Christ. So as you're holding your card in your hands, this is a spiritual moment. This is one of those mark the moment moments when you come and you say, okay, God, it's time for me to decide, am I going to be a part of what you're doing? And so you've got a crazy commitment card, and you've got a crazy commitment envelope for First Fruits offering. And this is a moment where this is more than just finances. This is saying, I'm going to choose to fuel this crazy dream that God has for this community. And so as you're holding these in your hands, if you're at this place, if you're at the place saying, I'm ready, I'm prepared to make a crazy commitment, whether you've processed that before today or you've been processing as you've been sitting here today, I'm going to invite you to begin to fill out that commitment card. And the front is very important. The part that has, you know, just general info on your name and your address and your phone numbers and your email. You know, this is not a legal covenant. We're not going to come chase you down if this does not come in the way you intend. But this is to make sure our database is up to date, as well as recognizing that you're saying today, that God, I'm stepping up to the plate. The bat's in my hand. The bases are loaded. I'm coming to the plate to be a part of what you're doing. And so if this is where you are, you can begin to fill this card out. On the back side, there's a number of ways to respond as you consider a three-year commitment. It might be a one-time cash gift. You may say, somewhere over the next 3 years, I'm going to make a one-time cash gift of this amount of money. It might be saying, I'm monthly, this is what I've come to. I'm going to monthly give this amount of money over the course of the next 36 months through May of 2013. You might say, you know, yearly, I'm going to give this sum of money. You know, yearly, this is the kind of the amount I'm going to give, and you're going to multiply that times 3, and that's going to bring your total. There may be a stock transfer that you'd like to make. There may be some kind of other cash resource that you'd like to contribute in some way. And so as you work through this, you then work your numbers down to the box that says, my total commitment to the crazy campaign over a three-year period is, and you can fill in the blank there. So I'm going to give you a few moments to work through this, these numbers. And then underneath there's a few ways to say this is how it's going to come in. It helps us understand if it's going to come through e-gift or stock transfer, those kinds of things. But just take a moment, this very spiritual moment, and say, God, here's what I'm bringing to the table. After you've completed your cards, you can tear on the perforated line. And the top is yours to keep. The bottom, with your name and address on the back side, is the part that we would like to receive today. And in just a few moments, as we sing, we're going to invite you to come and to place your first fruits offering and your three-year commitment at the altar. And mark this moment, commemorate this moment, and say, God, I'm going to trust that you're going to come through. For some of us, this is a crazy amount of money. For some of us, we've never put this amount of money down before. And yet we're saying, God, this is what I think I can do, and I'm giving you the upside and trusting that you're going to be a little more generous even beyond that. And short of you showing up, God, this isn't going to happen. I mean, some of us are out on that limb with God right now. We are grateful for that. We believe God is going to honor that. And so in a moment, we're going to bring these, and we're going to invite you to just lay them in the altar, to just place them inside this altar here. And then as you do that, either before you do that or after, then to stop by this table and pick up a river stone and a Sharpie and write your name. If you're a couple, use one stone and write both of your names on the same stone. And in some way, these stones, all of these stones, are going to be incorporated into our next new home. These are going to be built into a place where it will commemorate, it will remind us that there was a group of people who sweat and sacrificed to provide this place, this hub, this gathering place for life change in our community. It'll most likely be around water, a fountain. In some way, it will give a symbol that this is a place where life can be experienced, where God can be known without barriers. And so we're going to invite you to come and drop your commitments, sign a stone. You can see the many who have already done so in our first service today. And then we're just going to celebrate what God is doing. So go ahead and stand with me if you would, with your cards in hand. And if this is where you're at, we're going to invite you to come in just a moment. God, I'm praying right now that as we're standing, this is a very spiritual moment. God, this is a moment that some of us are sweating over because we've never done something like this. For others of us, God, we've done this before, and maybe you've just called us even forward in a bigger way. And so, God, wherever we are, whatever we're bringing today, if we're obeying what you've asked us to do, God, that is significant. And that's all that you ask from us, is to obey. And so, God, in these next moments, we are marking this moment in this journey. At the end of this journey, we're saying, God, we are starting the next new season of this journey at Crosspoint. We're investing, we're fueling in life change. We're excited to see how you're going to continue to use us, to use our resources, to touch lives and change trajectory of hearts for eternity. So God, this is what we're doing right now. Give us courage. Help us to be bold as we sing. We'll bring our cards and sign these rocks in your name.